With us, we have the one and only Dr. Gabe Merkin. Good morning, Dr. Merkin.
Good morning, Doug, and everybody else.
And if you have any questions for Dr. Merkin, earlier is better than later. Yes, obviously, we're going to talk a lot about COVID, but there are other medical questions that you may have. You're welcome to call those in as well at 946-0435. And just to start with the obvious, we do this every month during this particular season, and some people may be sick of it. But just as a reminder, for those who have not gotten their flu shot yet, go get the darn thing.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something very exciting. The people who've had the flu shot get a higher antibody response to the vaccine against COVID-19. That means that that you're better protected if you get the flu shot and the COVID-19 vaccine than just getting the COVID vaccine alone.
And it's just it's common sense. Why be sick with two things if you happen to get COVID and you've already got the flu? It's going to be a lot worse.
And the third thing you get is the pneumonia vaccine. Everybody, particularly older people, people who are diabetic, and people who are obese, and people who have high blood pressure, should be vaccinated immediately, if not sooner.
You know, it's funny. I forgotten I had had that because I was going to my doctor for the routine checkup, and they said, okay, and on this date you had this, on this date you had this, and on this date, it's like, oh, wait, that's right, I did. Okay, so I don't have to worry about that, I guess.
That means you have a good doctor who is conscientious.
Yeah. Let's see. A couple of the other things we want to talk about. Most of folks in our area are in what's called the 1A situation, where we are still concentrating on vaccinating people over the age of 65 and those who have compromising health concerns. Type 2 diabetes would be an example of that. Cancer would be an example, correct?
Absolutely. Anything that decreases your immunity increases your risk for serious consequences of COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, that, and normally, who cares what celebrities think, but Tom Hanks was an example. He and his wife both had COVID when they were working on a movie project in Australia, and they had a quarantine, and they were sick, and he's type 2 diabetic, which is very serious when you have something like that. He seems to be very healthy otherwise, but you wouldn't have known that. And it shows you that it can be any one of us that has some type of situation where you have to take that in consideration along with the possibility of COVID.
I'm glad you mentioned that because he turned his life around. This is a guy that's one of the best actors of all time. If he had to weigh 250 pounds for a part, he did. If he had to weigh 120 pounds for a part, he did. So he was yo-yoing all his life, which is an incredible risk factor for diabetes. And he has such a strong willpower that once he had the COVID and the diabetes, which was caused by his yo-yoing, he is now obsessive-compulsive in doing everything right for his health.
If all of us could do that, it would help, but all of us don't, but that's another matter. You can use him as an example of how to try to do it.
Well, you can see how incredibly motivated Tom Hanks really is.
Well, then again, actors have done things like De Niro put on how much weight for Raging Bull and took it off, so...
But every time you do that, you're asking for damage to your health.
Heart damage?
Heart damage, liver damage, and immune damage, and diabetes. Diabetes is caused specifically in people by yo-yoing. And there's a reason for that. When you lose weight rapidly, that may be you weaken your muscles, but that's not the problem. But gaining weight rapidly means you put a lot of fat into your liver, and that blocks your ability to control your blood sugar because it's your liver that controls your blood sugar.
We should say that when we talk about some of these actors, and not that this makes it okay, they've had medical professionals coaching them as to, okay, if you have to do this for a part, this is how you do it as healthfully as possible. And I'm sure that any doctor who's ever said that winced when he said it because it's like, I'd rather you don't, but okay, if you're going to do it, here's the healthiest way.
Well, anytime you tell somebody to gain weight rapidly, you're asking them to risk their health.
Yeah. We can get into yo-yoing some other time. We have John in Altoona, who I believe is going to ask one of the questions I sent you based on something that several other listeners had asked about. But we have John from Hollidaysburg on WRTA with Dr. Gabe Merkin. Good morning.
Good morning. Curious, for someone who has knee problems, meniscus, if stem cells is a way to go for trying to grow new cartilage here.
Well, that's very controversial. I have to tell you that the Food and Drug Administration has not yet approved stem cells for arthritis. But I get a tremendous number of emails, and I'm getting a lot of letters from very happy people after they've had stem cells and have had a lot of failures. But so far, we don't have the proven data to show that it works, but there are a tremendous amount of testimonials. So all we have to do is refine the process. I don't know if it works now, but it's a promising treatment for the future.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, John.
In other words, when we prove something, that we have studies where you control placebo versus treatment. Those studies are very controversial as of today. But enough people are getting better that we think that we just have to refine our techniques.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. And there, we still have Dr. Merkin on. We have another clear line. If you want to ask any questions, 946-0435. I thought he was going to go when I saw the little description of his call on the screen there. I thought he was going to go in this direction. One of the people I heard last week talking to another host on the station was asking about this. I've had a couple people ask me, and I've had one person flat out say to me, I'm not taking the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'll take the other two, but I won't take that. I said, why? Well, that's got infant stem cells in it. Is that true or is that not true?
I'm glad. It's not true. It's a lie. What happens is when Johnson & Johnson started work on making a vaccine, they had to grow an adenovirus. Their vaccine is on a special virus. Well, they did use stem cells then. I'm sorry. They did use fetal cells. But none of the cells that were used to develop the vaccine specifically in recent times have been fetal cells. So the answer is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine does not contain fetal cells, although they did use some fetal cells early in their research.
All right, because I know several people they wanted to argue the point, and I didn't feel informed enough to give them an answer on that.
Well, the message is they're going into the past, not into the present.
Okay, and speaking of the vaccines now, so we have three of them, and we may soon have a four. They were talking about on the news earlier today, AstraZeneca has a vaccine that was approved in Germany, and they're not using it to best advantage or something. They're arguing about who gets the vaccine now and whether it's going to be more widely approved. We have three definite for this country right now. What do you see as the future?
I see as the future that the vaccines look better and better and better as the new data comes out. We're getting tremendous antibody responses. We're getting decreased serious disease. And study after study is coming out saying, yes, it's all thumbs up. And incidentally, in your remark about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is not, we have three approved and one soon to be approved. The soon to be approved is AstraZeneca's Oxford chimpanzee virus one, and they're using a technique with a chimpanzee virus that we've been using for more than 80 years. What they do is they take a virus and they kill the virus, and they're giving the dead virus with a piece of the COVID-19 virus attached to it, and it is giving immunity. The other concern we had was that the third virus vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, did not have as good protection from disease as the first two. But we found out that there was a mutation, because the studies on Johnson & Johnson were done in South Africa and in Asia, where the people were exposed to a mutated virus that's more resistant. So right now, there appears to be no difference in protection between the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Johnson & Johnson. They appear to be equally effective, and AstraZeneca is looking very good to come out soon.
We have to take a break. We're with Dr. Gabe Merkin, 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
If we're not talking about it, it hasn't happened yet.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
Now, here's the final story.
Title.
Life is short. Don't waste yours in a job that has no meaning. Family Services Incorporated has open positions for direct support professionals who work alongside adults with intellectual disabilities to support and encourage them as they lead the life of their choosing. They offer in-depth training, competitive pay, and an excellent benefit package. To join their team, apply online at FamilyServicesInc.net or call 814-944-3583. Family Services Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer.
Dean Patterson Mazda, you're our Patterson priority. Come in and test drive a new Mazda and get a $20 gas card. No purchase necessary. And be sure to mark Friday, March 19th on your calendar. It's the March Maddening event at Dean Patterson Mazda. Dean Patterson will be open till midnight to celebrate the NCAA tournament with big discounts. Come in, drop off your bracket, and win great prizes like a free oil change, free gas from Sheets, and more. Shoot some hoops on the Dean Patterson court. Play one-on-one with your favorite salesperson. It's March Maddening at Dean Patterson Mazda, 101 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Hello, class. This past year has taken its toll on all of us, but let's get a fresh start. Now, inhale. That's it. Breathe deeply and envision how you want things to go in 2021.
Great idea. And when you're finished doing that, don't forget to visit Herbal Equipment and Distribution. Herbal Equipment and Distribution is your go-to place for CBD products, kratom, loose leaf teas, hemp topicals.
Now, let's take a moment to light some incense.
Thanks for the reminder. Herbal Equipment and Distribution also has a variety of incense, along with nectar collectors and a large selection of both American and import glass accessories.
Class, wait. We're not finished. Where are you going?
Yes, they're going to Herbal Equipment and Distribution with two convenient locations, 222 West Plank Road, Altoona, and 5523 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Tyrone. Or, if you're busy, shop online at herbalequipment.com. Oh, and remember one more thing. Breathe.
Now, team with the resources of Fox News Radio and townhall.com. Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
Nine four six zero four three five. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA, the 11th hour. Doug Herendeen talking with Dr. Gabe Merkin. We have lines open. If you have a question, it doesn't have to be about COVID. It can be any medical question. You're welcome to call in on that. But we are obviously focusing on that for the main reasons of what we're dealing with right now. As far as the type of vaccine, I've heard some people getting picky about, well, I only want this one or I want that one based on something they've read. And your recommendation is like, look, if you have an opportunity, just get the vaccine. It doesn't matter which one.
Definitely. That's what the Food and Drug Administration says. That's what the Communicable Disease says. That's what everybody says. The all three approved vaccines look so good that it doesn't matter what you get. And the other second thing is it looks like you should get your second shot of the Pfizer and Moderna in the same from the same vaccine, only because we have data on that. We have lots of knowledge that we don't have because we need more studies that haven't yet come out.
Well, it's a ridiculous analogy, but I use it anyway. It's a mechanic once told me, listen, you can use regular synth blend or synthetic in your car. Whatever you start with, just keep using it the entire time. It's whatever the system is used to, I guess.
Well, when we have more knowledge, we might be able to contradict that. But right now, that's the standard of care, and that's what everybody is saying. Get the same vaccine for the two shots.
When you have two shots, is there any difference except time between them with the two shots? Is there like more of something in one and less in another, or it's the same exact thing both times?
No, it's called the booster dose, which this is absolutely fascinating. You know that, let's say you get your first shot and you get your second shot 2 years later instead of 2 or 3 weeks. You'll get a higher response most likely at 2 years than you would at 2 or 3 months because you have a booster effect from having had your immunity primed by the first shot. So you don't lose anything by getting it at 12 weeks instead of 2 or 3 weeks, except you won't be protected in the time to your second shot. But you'll still get a booster response at any time getting a second shot of the same vaccine.
Okay, something that's good to keep in mind. Here's something we had happen in our area. There were about 100,000 doses that were sent out, and they were presumed to be for first-time vaccinations. No, they were supposed to be the second. So the people who didn't get their second shot because all those went to 100,000 other people, they should not worry that it's going to be a huge problem for them. It's just it's going to take a little longer till they get the proper protection.
That's right. It's no problem. Whenever they get, they should take the second shot because the data shows that two shots give you much better immunity than one shot. But there is data already coming out to show that one shot is offering significant protection, even though we're recommending two shots.
We've had some school districts decide they're going back to in-person classes as opposed to virtual or a hybrid situation. We have some that are still doing hybrid. And one of the things we started to talk about before is if you're 65 or older, you have some medical reason you would be getting the vaccination earlier. There's a move underway in Pennsylvania to vaccinate those who will be working in schools, teachers, administrators, anybody that's going to come in contact with the kids. And also that theoretically the kids are not going to be as much at risk, not that there is no risk. How accurate is that?
Brilliant. Absolutely. If you want, the rule is you want the most good for the most people, all right? Now, children, 30-40% of the children who get COVID-19 don't have any symptoms at all. They have no, and the serious disease is not located in healthy children, all right? So, and the downer of doing isolation and stopping school is that these kids who lose a year of school are going to lose their entire future. There is data we know that you drop out of school for a year, you end up not recapturing what you missed, and you end up as a garbage collector instead of, if you had gotten more education, you could have gone much further in life. And so it's the teachers who are at greater risk than the children. The children are at extremely low risk. If you want to talk about most good for the most people, you would open the schools immediately, immunize all the teachers because the adult teachers are more susceptible, and let the kids take their risk because they're at very low risk. The risk of their having their lives ruined forever from missing a year of school is substantial. There are kids that are going to be messed out of an education and messed out of a job and messed out of any future because of this loss of a year of school.
Was that something, the Barrington Declaration, where people, bunch of scientists signed on to that? Were you one of them?
Yes, and it's very reasonable and it's rational and it's and I want you to all get into your head. The most good for the most people, that's a perfect example.
Had you signed on to the declaration?
No, I have not signed on it, but I support it wholeheartedly.
Okay. And by the way, to those that collect my garbage, thank you. I appreciate it. We're just doing apples and oranges, I guess.
They could have a higher standard of living had they stayed in school. That's the point. It's not that they're inferior people.
Yeah.
It's that their opportunities were taken away from them.
Well, here's the thing about that. And I've talked to some people who are very understanding of it, and these are usually parents. And I've talked to other people who maybe have adult children and are not currently raising younger ones. You mentioned, the kids, they're disadvantaged. And the attitude that has been put to me when it's critical is, oh, grow up. We had to deal with much worse when I was a kid, or, we went through much worse in this country. Good night, we've gone through world wars, and they're whining because they get to sit home and do lessons on the computer. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds a little harsh. But
that's a very good point. Do you know, the truth is that wealthy parents are going to make up for the schools being closed. They're going to get tutors. They're going to work with their kids. But what if you come from a new immigrant family or a poor family? You're not going to be able to school your own children. You may not be able to afford to school your own children. So you're the ones that are getting really cheated. Closing the schools is going to have lifelong implications on these unfortunate children.
Yeah, I think there's a social aspect of that a lot of people seem to forget. But at the same time, there are people say, well, you know, homeschooling doesn't work because there is no social aspect. And actually, that's not true. Yes, there is. But in something like this, I don't know. It's just I see people get overly dramatic one way or the other where they'll say the kids will be just fine. You're full of it. And the others that say, well, the kids are all going to be delinquents when they grow up. And I think neither is true. There's some truth in the middle.
Yes. Well, the point is opportunity is too important. And I have a personal story, if anybody wants to. My parents were immigrants. My father never went to school. He came to the United States when he was 11 years old, and he was grown up on a farm, so he was too old to ever start kindergarten. And so he never went to school in his entire lifetime. Well, I was brought up in an incredibly poor neighborhood when I started, and I thought I was smart and with my 500-word vocabulary. And if I had stayed there, I would have been like everybody else. But in Boston, there's a school called Boston Latin School where they take the best students, and they have one outstanding school, and they had 17 other high schools that were send a few kids to college at the very best. Well, I was fortunate enough in the seventh grade to transfer from my neighborhood to Boston Latin School, and that's the only reason, I think, that's the specific reason why I was able to get an education. And when I came to Boston Latin School, I took my 500-word vocabulary, and there's no way I could have competed with kids with 10,000-word vocabularies, and I had it incredibly difficult in the seventh and eighth grade just catching up.
It's interesting because, you know, we think of somebody who has accomplished what you have and think, well, you know, they had a relatively easy path to it. And I guess that reminds people, no, not everybody did.
No, well, the message is opportunity is too important. It's important for everybody. And if people think that they're just capable or just, it doesn't work just that way at all. You have to have doors open to go through them.
Yeah, the other thing I thought is that you're going to have a generation of students now who are technically, but not technically, 1 year behind, and that's going to put them in a different group of people going for jobs at the same time, for social skills, every other part of life, and when they get into college, too, it'll be like as if they took a year off before they went to college, although they didn't get the year off that most people say, I need to find myself. No, they were trying to keep up with everybody while it was going on.
That's absolutely true. If you don't read, you don't learn how to read. And you come up with a poor neighborhood where your parents are not reading, you're less likely to read. And so if you don't get the schooling where you read, you're really being cheated, and it has nothing to do with you. You're a victim.
You know, one of the other things, and I mentioned this, we do a couple of shows here. I'll say, can you send me an email? Can you send me a photo? And the number of people that say, I don't have a computer. I don't have a smartphone. I don't want one. And they sometimes say it as if they're almost ashamed. I'm thinking, well, no, you just either you don't want to spend the money on it, and that's your decision. It's your money. I'd rather have this, or I'd rather have money to fix the car than buy a fancy computer. Great. That's, you know, a common sense approach. I think we tend to think now everybody is online and they're not. And that affects people who are going to have their kids learn online in a situation like this, which none of us saw coming in this way.
That's well stated. But I want you to realize a lot of people end up on the bottom of the financial social ladder because they never had the chance.
We have Dr. Gabe Merkin with us right now at 946-0435. And we also have Lisa in Altoona with a question about masks. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
So I have a question. So just recently, like in the last 15 minutes, the CDC comes out and says that fully vaccinated people can gather without a mask. Okay, so I thought we heard Fauci say that even if you got a vaccine, you still had to wear a mask because you're only 95% or 90% protected. And when we have to go show, you know, if we go into a store or whatever, and if we're, you know, not wearing a mask, is it going to come down to we have to show a card or something? Because to me, that's part of the HIPAA law. How is that? I just don't get any of this. Like,
I think you're very smart because that's a very appropriate question. Let me go over that with you. When you get immunized, you produce cells and chemicals to kill the germ when the germ tries to get into your cells. But immunized people can be contagious. And I want you to understand why. Do you know you have more than 100 trillion bacteria sitting in your colon? You have billions and trillions of bacteria in your lungs, on your skin, and everywhere else. So people who are immunized and won't be infected still can be carriers because they can carry the virus in their intestines, in their lungs, in their nose, and on their skin. This is incredibly important because we have the data. This is not just something I'm guessing. We've shown that people who won't get the infection because they have high antibodies in their blood can still transmit the virus even though we're at low levels because the virus is living in their intestines, and every time the virus tries to get into their cells, they kill it. So they're carrying the virus inside their intestines even though the virus can not get into their cells. Excellent question. We should continue to wear masks because you can be contagious even when you're immune.
Okay. I don't know. And what do you think about exercising our immune system to be able to, you know, like they used to say, don't take your children out when they're born because, you know, they'll get this, but you need to get out in the world so that your body builds up immunity. I mean, what do you think about that?
Like, another very good question. Everything you can do to improve your immunity, you should do. And that includes, because if you look at the research papers, the hottest area of research in medicine today is on inflammation, where your immunity is supposed to protect you from disease. And we have what we call a lifestyle that's anti-inflammation, anti-inflammatory lifestyle. And that means that everybody, I have no exceptions, you should be exercising unless there's some reason it'll hurt you. You should be eating an anti-inflammatory diet that's loaded with fruits and vegetables and restricts mammal meat, processed meat, fried foods, and sugar-added foods. You should not be drinking anything with sugar in it because that causes the highest rise in blood sugar, which turns on your immunity. And so it doesn't matter what you are or who you are or whether you've been immunized or not, you should be following all the rules of anti-inflammatory lifestyle that I just mentioned.
Right. I do believe in that, and I do understand that. The thing with masks for me is I don't agree with breathing in the same air I'm breathing out when I have a mask on. I don't think that's good, and I think it breeds more viruses and more bacteria.
Well, let me give you the data, because we do have good studies. It is proven and accepted in the medical community that if you are infected, you are protecting other people by wearing a mask. There's no debate on that. The scientific literature is established. If you have an infection, wear a mask as a consideration to other people. Now, I have to tell you, there is a debate about how much a mask protects you from getting an infection. In other words, you're doing it as being a good neighbor because that's proven. But whether it protects you or not has some debate. All the literature says that you're protected if your mask is good, that you clean the mask every 48 hours. You're absolutely correct. You can collect the virus on the mask. But if you wear a mask for 2 or 3 hours, that mask, the virus that is catching on the mask is not in your lungs. So you're better off. So, yes, the literature now proves that you're doing it as a good neighbor. You're protecting other people by wearing a mask. And it's now turning stronger and stronger towards the fact that you're wearing a mask to protect yourself, as long as you're wearing a good mask that has small holes that will catch the virus, and you'll clean the virus, the mask, after using it once each time.
Yeah, and I think I understand and believe it would have to be a good mask, but for the most part, I work in a restaurant, and I see my servers wearing these masks, and they're touching things, they're touching their masks. You can't tell me that stuff, they're touching people's plates and they're touching their mask and adjusting their mask. You can't tell me that isn't worse in that condition.
No, I can't. I don't have any data to tell you that it's worse. I can tell you that the people who work in the restaurant are protecting you when they wear a mask. They should do that as a good neighbor. That's established. I want you to know the scientific community pretty much agrees. I absolutely accept that a mask, there is a debate in the scientific community about whether it protects you, but the evidence is turning stronger and stronger that it does, and I think that the director of your restaurant should also be saying, let's clean our masks after one use for the day.
Right. And I just think, too, it's so confusing because you got people coming in, sitting, and taking their mask off to eat. Well, isn't that air? Isn't it circulating in the air?
Yeah, again, you're spot on. You're correct. Let me tell you something. Do you know that COVID-19 is a disease acquired from breathing indoor air where people congregate? Indoor air where people congregate. So you're going to get it from a restaurant, a gym, any indoor space where a lot of people go. You're very unlikely to get it outdoors. Very unlikely.
Walmart, you could get it at Walmart and stuff,
yes,
too, correct?
Yes, you'll get it in a grocery store. That's absolutely correct. But the message is that outdoors, if you're going to get it outdoors, it's because somebody coughed or breathed or screamed at you right into your face.
Right. I don't know. Just all the regulations and stuff just seem like they contradict one another, and it's just so
well,
confusing.
I don't think so. I think that when I see somebody wearing a mask, I say, there's a good neighbor who's protecting me. And there's no debate about what I just said then.
Right.
Lisa, thank you very much for
your
work these days. We appreciate it.
And
what I'm sure she has to put up with from some customers, I don't want to even get into, but
she has a tough job.
The mask will be the least of the problems, yeah. By the way, here's the other thing, though. How many of us are washing our masks after one use? I'd hate to see
That's
the percentage
difficult.
Of that.
That's correct.
Yeah. We have to take a break here with Dr. Gabe Merkin. One more segment on the 11th Hour.
The opinions you hear on WRTA are the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or advertisers.
In these uncertain times, family budgets are tight, but appliances still need replaced or repaired when they quit working.
There goes the dryer. Now what?
Now you go to Appliance Station. Appliance Station offers affordable reconditioned appliances. Appliance Station can also fix your broken appliances right in your home. Or if you prefer to do it yourself, they sell all of the replacement parts you need. Ask for Mindy. She's there to help. Appliance Station, a half block down from the Railroaders Memorial Museum at 1129 9th Avenue, Altoona. Like Appliance Station on Facebook.
You've Sports builds character, strength, and a desire to be better. Young boys and girls stepping onto the field or court are eager to do well and should be acknowledged when they do. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA is proud to announce the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week. To make a nomination, just email your child's name, age, and town with his or her accomplishment, big or small, to YSSOW2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112. We'll then announce the winner of the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star throughout the week. Show that young competitor that hard work and their best effort does come with rewards. And watch with excitement when they hear their name announced on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA and receive their award. Special thanks to Shields Trophy on Union Avenue, Altoona. Email YSSOW2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112. It's the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week.
Your opinions on sports. Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Weekdays at 3 on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
946-0435. We have a couple of calls waiting here, so we'll try to get them in and keep them as short as we can with Dr. Gabe Merkin. There's an NBC story that a previous caller was sort of getting near. CDC, fully vaccinated people don't need to quarantine if exposed to COVID. What did you think of that article, Dr. Merkin?
Well, they see the only positive statement. See, we have very little data. So the only positive statement the CD has said so far to this very moment is that people who are vaccinated, this is the only thing we have, people who are vaccinated and are exposed to people who are contagious don't have to isolate themselves for 2 weeks. But everybody that's been exposed to contagious people for 2 weeks has to isolate themselves. That's the only thing. We can't say anything else because we don't have the data.
We don't know what we don't know again.
We don't know. That's correct. Incidentally, the 60-minute piece that you remarked about earlier, that is breakthrough news. It's exciting.
Explain what that is really briefly. This is something that was around for 40 years and may actually be a treatment to help you not get as sick if you are ending up with COVID.
Yes, this is good science, and that's why I hate when somebody says, well, I treated 350 patients and none of them died. Well, that's not science because you don't have a control. You don't have a study. You don't have anything. The guy is just spouting off. But fluvoxamine, a drug that's been around for more than 40 years, it's an antidepressant. It's used to treat obsessive-compulsive behavior. It's relatively very, very safe. It's not a dangerous drug. Has been shown in a controlled study that was extremely well done to protect people from developing serious COVID-19 disease. And the reason that you're hearing me say this positive statement is because it was done by respectable investigators, published in the Journal of the American November of 2020, that's several months ago, and none of the people who were on fluvoxamine ended up with serious disease. There were no hospitalizations, no deaths, no intubations. It's exciting because for every person that was put on the fluvoxamine, there was a person put on placebo. And the placebo group had significant numbers of people admitted to the hospital with serious disease, getting intubated, and one patient even died. So the difference was so statistically significant that I said that fluvoxamine, a drug, an antidepressant drug, looks very good. Now, remember the study on chloroquine? There were no good studies. Oh, we got about 20 studies now on fluvoxamine, the malaria drug, showing it doesn't work. Because you had clowns getting up and saying, I treated 350 patients and none of them died.
And this, if you didn't see the CBS piece, I'll put a link to it on our website and on our Facebook page.
It's exciting news. I think it's a breakthrough.
Yeah. Quick question here that was an email. I get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which they say is 70% effective. Well, we talked about that earlier. Do I need to be more cautious about being in groups or wearing a mask or being infected by a new variant? Are we going to have to get...
Now, Yeah, right now everybody has to be cautious because we don't have the data. Now, I might tell you 2 weeks from now, wow, you don't have to be this cautious. But right now, if I tell you to go out there and expose yourself, I have to have data that I that when you come to me and say, well, who has shown that? I have to be able to say, well, yes, they did this, and they compared it with a study, a placebo group, and they showed that. Well, we don't have a lot of good data. We have just don't have enough data yet.
I'm getting the email continues. I'm scheduled for the vaccine on Wednesday, the J&J vaccine, I guess. When am I fully protected? She wants to know.
Well, we think you're fully protected 2 weeks after your second vaccination, but we don't really have, you know, millions of people in a study followed for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. We just don't have enough time to get that data. I think you're protected 2 weeks. The CDC suggests you're protected 2 weeks after your second immunization to Pfizer or Moderna, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks after, maybe after the Johnson & Johnson. That's what I think. But if you want me to substantiate it, we don't have the data yet.
All right. We have Dan in Altoona. You're on with Dr. Gabe Merkin.
Well, Doug, go to the other caller because I call too frequently, and I don't want to steal their thunder and everything, so I can pick up next month.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you. And the other caller here is Ed in Altoona. You're on WRTA with Dr. Merkin.
Good morning. Speaking of data, is there any data out there with all three approved vaccines with regards to fertility in young women? I know that's a huge concern in the community in terms of should they or shouldn't they not get vaccinated with their age.
Okay. The recommendation is everybody gets vaccinated. But again, I have to tell you, if you want me to give you a 3-year follow-up study, I can't. I don't know of any. But right, the recommendation is pregnant women should be immunized. And we don't have the data. But remember, the disease may be worse than the immunization. I would bet a very large amount of money that the disease is worse than the vaccination.
So there's no data at all concerning fertility.
Fertility? Yes. The studies that we have on fertility show these women are still fertile.
Okay.
All right, Ed, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have, let's see here, Carl from South Carolina. You're on with Dr. Merkin.
Yeah, it's Earl, Doug. I'm sorry. Maybe.
Oh.
Not a problem. My question is, why does it seem like we've heard nothing of flus? I've talked to a couple different doctors who, you know, I'm a nurse, and the point being, we don't see any positive, hardly any, if any, flu tests coming back positive on. I have two ones in an outpatient-type setting, like a 12-hour daytime place. And the other one is in a private practice, and they've seen almost no, if any, positive flu. Is there any speculation or reasoning, does he think, on why that is?
Yes, isolation works. Absolutely. Everything you're doing to protect yourself from COVID-19 will also protect you against pneumonia and influenza. Everything, without exception. The mask, the indoor isolation, the staying 6 feet away. I don't know how important washing your hands is. I will tell you that nobody has really come up with any good data to support washing your hands. Washing your hands may be good, but we don't have any good data to support. But boy, is the data coming back on indoor air. Indoor air is where people congregate. That's where you get your flu, that's where you get your COVID-19, that's where you get your disease. Indoor air where people congregate.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that. Have a great day. Thanks.
Earl, thank you very much. Sorry about the name there. Quickly, some people were sending me this article, and they would be from, like, you know, skeevy-looking websites, but now I'm seeing the same story in CNN, CBS, ABC. Mammograms pick up swelling due to COVID-19 vaccine causing unnecessary fear, radiologists say. Is it unnecessary fear?
Yeah. Yes. At this point, we have no evidence anywhere that the vaccine is causing cancer or the disease is causing cancer. The message is that the evidence is overwhelming. A very large percentage of people who get COVID-19 get swollen lymph nodes.
And
you have swollen lymph nodes in your armpit, you get them in your breast, you get them in your belly, you get them everywhere else. So that's established. A major complication of COVID-19 disease is swollen lymph nodes, and that may be the breast discomfort that has been reported.
But they see this as coming from the vaccine. Is that nothing to be concerned
about? Yes. At this point, it looks like the swollen... The vaccine is causing swollen lymph nodes. That's established. We have good data to show, and the swollen lymph nodes can be in the breasts and the armpits.
Okay, but again, not something to be concerned about. It's just
it's
a side effect, but
cancer or cell changes.
All right, Dr. Gabe Merkin. The website again is drmirkin.com. We'll have Dr. Merkin back in about a month's time. We'll have a podcast of this program up. One final bit of advice right now for anybody?
Yes, wear a mask. It's a good neighbor habit.
Dr. Gabe Merkin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.